Psalm 63, a psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away. But this is the word of God. God's word stands forever. You join me as we pray. Oh Lord, in this holy exercise we're about to partake in, the hearing and preaching of the word of God, we are utterly dependent upon you. I know that very well. We all know that. Lord, if you do not plant the seed and cause the growth, the word of God will bring no fruit. How we pray tonight that you would bear much fruit in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would give us the mind of Christ as we study this portion of your word, that you would help us to believe. We're so prone to unbelief, to believe our doubts, and to doubt our beliefs, rather than to doubt our doubts, and to believe what we know to be true. So confirm, Lord, tonight, by the power of your Spirit, the truth of your word in our hearts. As we see ourselves here, help us, Lord, to take this portion of your word, apply it to our lives, and to then use it as a message for others. That you would equip us to be a blessing to those who are in a spiritual desert. Thank you for our great Savior, and thank you that though we are now in the wilderness, not in glory in the promised land to come, we thank you for the refreshing grace that you give us day by day, so that we can be like that tree firmly planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in its season. Come and do that tonight, Lord. Refresh our souls. Lead us to green pastures and still waters. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've all felt it before. I did just this afternoon. It was, as you know, pretty warm outside, and I had just taken a little Sunday afternoon bike ride. Nothing vigorous, just a little ride. But that feeling at the back of my throat sent my brain a message. You need water. They say that there are tests for dehydration. Gently pinch the skin on your arm or your stomach with two fingers, and so that it makes a little tent shape. Let the skin go, and if the skin springs back to its normal position in 1 to 3 seconds, then you're fine. If it's slow to return to normal, then you're dehydrated and you need something to drink. And symptoms are different depending on your age, right? For an infant or a young child, dry mouth and tongue, no wet diapers for 3 hours, no tears when they're crying, sunken eyes, sunken cheeks. Listlessness or irritability means they're dehydrated. For an adult, you've got extreme thirst, fatigue, dizziness, confusion. Sometimes you just know, I don't feel right. My body doesn't feel right. I just need water. I need something to drink because water is essential for human life. It's essential for our bodies so that they can function properly. And ignoring the symptoms of dehydration, the signs of dehydration, can have detrimental effects. They say that by the time you feel thirsty, our body is already dehydrated. Well, dehydration of the soul or the spirit is not much different. You might experience symptoms like sadness, anxiety, impatience, or indifference. The fruit of the spirit is less evident in your life. There are signs that you're spiritually thirsty and you need to come back to the one who is the living water. It's the Spirit's way of calling us back to Himself, to the living God, to the giver of life. Come to me, Jesus says, and drink from the water of life. I would suggest there are symptoms of spiritual thirst. How do you know when your soul is thirsty? How do you know that? Have you ever thought about that? How do you know? I think you can sense it sometimes where you know, I'm just not right spiritually. Sometimes you can see that in the language that you use or someone else uses, the control of your tongue. One of the symptoms of physical dehydration is bad breath. Well, I think one of the symptoms of spiritual hydration is also in the mouth, your speech. Luke 6:45 says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. When we're lacking or spiritually thirsty, our speech lacks grace. You've been there where you say things you shouldn't have said and that just snaps out and you don't realize, why did I even say that? Or it might be in a lack of service. When someone suffers dehydration, they experience physical fatigue. Well, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul's prayer for the church emphasizes the overflow of love that comes from their growth, their union with Christ. He says, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, overflowing with joy and love. I would say to you, when you're spiritually drained, your service, your activity, that is your walking with God and your desire to love and serve others, is often affected. I would say being more easily angered is another sign. You know, a lack of adequate water in someone's body causes their temperature of their body to overheat. Well, when we're spiritually dehydrated, a possible symptom is a quick temper where you're shorter with others. It's one of the deeds of the flesh from Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Or a lack of self-control. When you have extreme dehydration, you go through muscle spasms. You can't control your body physically. And I would say when you're spiritually hydrated and you don't allow the Spirit to control your lives, you lose control of the flesh and sin creeps in. And you make unwise choices, right? Proverbs 18 illustrates the destruction of foolishness. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. And that's what happens when people are spiritually thirsty and dry. I'd say all these are common experiences that although we're made to walk with God, sometimes God seems far away. Now that may be because you've never been brought to know the Lord. You've never been brought to have a right relationship with God in the first place. You're still where you were when you were born. That is, without forgiveness, without righteousness, without having been born again. And that's what you need. Or it may be that you've come to trust the Lord, you've come to know the Lord, you've cried out for mercy, you've believed the gospel, you trust His promises, you've been born again, you've been born from above, but you've drifted away from Him and your soul has not been drinking from the water of life. And you're spiritually hungry and thirsty. Maybe that you're going through a particular trial or difficulty or loss or spiritual struggle like King David, who wrote this psalm before us. and you're in a desert place. You might even be in a physically desert place that is away from others. Ironically, typifies your spiritual state. Spiritually dry and weary. And God is calling you tonight to come back to Him, to trust Him more. I'd like to take a look at this prayer with you tonight and see what God has for us. First of all, what's David's situation? Well, David is in the desert of Judah. We see that in the heading, which borders the Dead Sea. It's frequently called the wilderness. Now, David went there when he was younger, when fleeing King Saul, which is probably why he went back there, because he remembered that there were hiding places in the caves. Remember when King Saul was out to take his life because of jealousy? It's now where he's gone later in life, when he himself had become king and he had to flee Jerusalem during the rebellion of his son Absalom. David's on the run. He's fleeing. He's looking over his shoulder. He's hiding wherever he can. And he's in a hot, dry, dusty, waterless place. The creature comforts of the palace are gone in the city of David. He's basically a homeless. He's a refugee, right? He's on the run. And where he is barren and rocky and lonely. And then inside his own heart, he's surely remembering that all of this is happening in part due to the consequences of his former sins. He has, in large part, brought this upon himself. His sin with Bathsheba and the ensuing cover-up, the murder of Uriah, when he first thought he'd gotten off scot-free, that he had dodged a bullet, that nobody knew, that he'd hidden his sin from everyone, but God knew, and the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to confront him because he was unrepentant. One of the consequences of his sin, Nathan said, out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity upon you, the Lord said. To be sure, God forgave David. His sin was not held against him. David knew the love of God for him. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 are evidence of that. The weight of guilt is lifted. He's restored to fellowship with God. But the consequences of his sin remained. His family became a mess. And a rebellious son, Absalom, was a part of that. But it's not just that David's own son, Absalom, is leading a rebellion against him. It's not just that David's on the run with enemies seeking to take his life. It's not limited to the fact that David's good friend and counselor, Ahithophel, is now a co-conspirator with Absalom. He's become a traitor. And it's not only that David is in a physically dry and thirsty place in the desert, but David is also separated from the people of God and from the ark of God, that place of corporate worship, the place of joy and praise and thanksgiving. He's separated from the people of God as they publicly worship. And the combination of all these factors produces what we have before us tonight. This honest, heartfelt cry to the Lord. By God's grace to you, the content of that prayer has been recorded for you so that you can use this prayer in your time of need. You can. This is a gift for you. Remember, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us, to our children forever. That is, why is God doing what he's doing? What's behind it? What's going to happen in the future? Why did he make me the way he made me? Why did he let me go through? We don't know a lot of the answers to these things. But we do know that the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. This is a gift. It belongs to you. So what does David say in the midst of this physically and spiritually dry season of his life? Well, look there in verse 1. He first of all cries out to God. He cries out to God. David's whole being longs for God. I know you've been there. I've been. Everybody's been there where you're so hungry, you just have to have something to eat, right? And any thought of eating right goes out the window. I don't care. I'll have a Burger King burger right now. I'm just so hungry. I'll stop here, right? You lose all rationality about what you should eat. sometimes our souls are at a point of desperation too. That's where David is. Oh God, you are my God. This is the confession of the Christian. Oh God, you are my God. Nothing else. Nobody else has place like this in my life. You're the only one. You're the only one I serve. You're the only one who gives me hope. You are my confidence. You're the source of everything I have. You have blessed me. You have saved me. You are my God. And I am yours. He says, earnestly, I seek you. Some translations read, early will I seek you. Both of them imply diligence, right, and single-mindedness. David senses he is far from the Lord and he must be restored to him. He's desperate. I earnestly seek you. In fact, it consumes him. He says, my flesh faints for you. My body longs for you, the NIV says. David's whole being aches, soul and body, for the Lord. He yearns for the presence of the Lord. He longs to have that sweet fellowship. He's spiritually in a dry and weary place where there seems to be no relief. Just like in a desert. Lord, I need you. I need what only you can offer. My soul is so empty. My heart is so dry. My whole body feels it. Oh, Lord. I would imagine, with a crowd this size even, there are people here who could say, I have been there. I have been there. I know what that's like. I know what that's like. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it wasn't so long ago. So what's the answer? Well, read on. David remembers there's only one way to remedy this. The feeling when God is far from him, when his soul is thirsty and dry. Listen to what David says. He's spiritually desperate. And he knows only God can fulfill that need. He remembers what it was like to worship God with his people. I have seen you in the sanctuary. I have looked upon you. I have beheld your power and your glory. That is, he has seen the evidences of the working of the Holy Spirit. He's looked in faith to God's promises. He remembers what that was like as the Lord was at work in people's lives and in his own life, as if he had seen God himself. He'd seen God answer prayer. He'd seen God change people's lives. He'd seen God answer the prayers of his people. And that sweet memory makes this present situation all the more dry and thirsty. He goes on to dwell on God's grace to him. He says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. That is, because your covenant binding love, you promised to be my God. You promised, Lord, you will never leave me or forsake me, that I belong to you. Therefore, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be submissive to you. I am open and ready to serve you. David had experienced in the past God's mercy and grace to him. God had not dealt with him like his sins deserved. And that wasn't because David was the king. That wasn't because David had done some great thing for God. It wasn't because David had fulfilled some penalty or penance and paid some fine. It was all because of God's love, God's loving kindness to him. And because of that, he says, I offer you my life. I lift up my hands to you, a symbol of humble willingness to the Lord. I know, Lord, you are the only one who can satisfy me. I know when you restore me, it will be like a banquet. He says there in verse 5, I know I will be satisfied. But listen, in the desperation, he says, in the meantime, Lord, I can't sleep. I think about you on my bed. Throughout the night, my thoughts go to you, verse 6. You're inescapable. I confess again, Lord, you will help me through this, verse 7. You will protect me,
Ultimately, you must protect me. There's no one else who can. I'm clinging to you, Lord, verse 8. It's only your hand that supports me. You know, there's all kinds of things that in desperation people use to fill that emptiness or that sense of vulnerability, which only God can fulfill. Just like they've done since the Garden of Eden to David's day, people have had substitutes for a relationship with the living God. And it's still today. You know them. Some of you have tried them. Some of your friends are in the midst of trying those things now to satisfy their souls or for spiritual protection. Some people go to other things. They're all idols. Success in your career, having the right toys, having the most, the biggest, the best, going overboard in some area to fill that void in your life, whether it's being a shopaholic or a workaholic or an exerciseaholic. Some people turn to other substitutes and substances to please the flesh or numb the senses or deaden the pain. But there's only one way to fill that void in the heart. There's only one way. It's only the Lord. And so God gives us David's experience as an example for us. Verses 9 to 11, he looks in faith to a better day. He's confident that this time of dryness, this time in the desert, won't last forever. He knew that. This will be over. Those who seek my life will be stopped. God's always faithful to his promises. Now, we may not be going through the physical enemies that David was experiencing, but we all have, because we're in the midst of a spiritual battle, those spiritual forces that would love to destroy us. David knew that his enemies would be destroyed and that he would one day be rejoicing in God again. He knew that one day this would all pass, all this around him. And so, too, the Christian knows that his great enemies, the devil and his angels, will be defeated. So, thirdly, what about you when you're in a spiritual desert? What does this have to do with you? I'm sure in a crowd this size, as I said before, even in our small number, there are those of you who have gone through things like this, and maybe you're going through it now. I know exactly what you're talking about, you might be thinking. So what should you do when God seems far away and your soul just doesn't feel right? Well, God gives you the answer, right? He gives you this as a gift. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. The Holy Spirit filled David, carried him along to write these things that you might have this prayer in your hands. Claim him as your God. You ever think about this? God wants you to pray this prayer when you're spiritually thirsty. Tell him you're thirsty. Show him you mean business. Go back again to the promises of his love and mercy to you in the gospel. Cry out to him in prayer from your heart. And again, you can use this psalm in your prayer. That's why it's here, to give content to your cry to the Lord. I've had a number of people over the years ask me, particularly men that I talk to at the jail, I don't know how to pray. They say, what am I supposed to say? I say, well, God's given you 150 prayers in the Bible, and even more so, they're scattered all through the Bible. One of the ones that I often give to people is just read Psalm 23. That's a wonderful prayer to the Lord, right? The Lord. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Lead me beside still waters. Refresh my soul. Restore my soul. Put content to the cry of your heart when you know something's just not right. Well, cry out to the Lord. Claim him as your God. Tell him of your thirst. Show him you mean business. And dwell on his love and grace to you in Christ. And then take a moment to examine your life. Take a moment to examine your life. Am I angry with God? Is that the problem? Am I bitter at him for something that's caused this Am I bitter at someone else? Have I not been willing to let go of something? Is there something that's happened that if you peeled back all the layers, that you find you're blaming God for? Or you're blaming someone else for it, and it's just too big of a hurdle to get over. Maybe you're coveting something more than you desire God. Maybe it's something or some job or just to have some recognition. Maybe you're feeling guilty about something. Maybe you've neglected worship or personal time with God. You've neglected to read His Word. Maybe you've neglected to be in fellowship with God's people, or you've just built up a lot of spiritual junk in your soul, and you just want a fresh start. Well, you can. You can do that right here and right now. If you're feeling guilty and it's some area of sin in your life, then confess it and move on. There's a lot of Christians today that are wandering in spiritual deserts because they're afraid to face their sin. That is, they're afraid to confess it, to call it what it is, to lay it out there before the Lord. He knows it anyway, so why hide it? Agree with Him about it and say, "There it is, Lord. It was sinful. I know it, and You know it. It's tearing me apart. I agree with Your Word. Have mercy on me. Oh, God, You are my God. My soul thirsts to be back in fellowship with You." You know, when sin goes unconfessed, when we let sin fester and we don't deal with it, then a distance develops between you and God. There's one of my favorite verses in the Psalms. It's Psalm 119, verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey Your Word." And sometimes God afflicts us with a spiritual desert because we're wandering from Him. So I encourage you tonight, take a moment to examine your own life. If there's something you need to confess to the Lord, if you're in the midst of something sinful, turn away now, run from it. If you're physically exhausted, well, then take a break. Your physical needs can drain your life and your spiritual life. And I encourage you to take a moment to examine your whole life. Are you serving the Lord? Is there joy in your heart to serve Him? There really is and can be joy in using the gifts He's given you. Are you thankful? Is that the general tenor of your life, that you're a thankful person? We're to give thanks in all circumstances because God has been so good to us. Well, take a moment and examine your use of the means of grace that God has given you. What are those? What are the means of grace that God has given you? Well, worship with God's people, gathering with them, personal prayer, time of reading the Scriptures yourself, fellowship with other Christians, Bible study, Christian books. But all of those begin with Christ and end with Christ. It must all be about our Savior. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink." So come to Him. Jesus says, "Come to Me." He's here. The risen Christ has promised to be with us wherever we gather in His name. Come to Him, taste and see that He is good. His mercy endures forever. And He welcomes you again tonight with open arms of grace and mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.